I'm going to try to accomplish what the Lord has been given my heart the last several weeks. I think we're going to, this thing will, okay, we'll just do it that way. Doesn't want to cooperate. Technology, you got to love it, right? I read this week in some of my reading that success does not come from what you do occasionally, but what you do consistently. And it kind of stuck with me. Success is not what you do occasionally, but what you do consistently. And now, the last few weeks, we've talked about prayer. Last week, we talked about the gains and the losses of prayer. And the Lord has continued with me on this prayer journey. And if it's not, if this is for nobody else, it's been for me. Because there's some things that I have hiccups with, that the Lord's been helping me with. And so today, we're going to continue in the prayer journey, and I'm going to talk to you about importunity in prayer. Importunity. Anybody know what that word means? I didn't even know what it means. I had to look it up. But importunity is it's actually kind of, it's in the word. It's important. Importunity is spelled I-M-P-O-R-T. Instead of putting the A and T as important, it puts unity at the end of it. And so importunity actually means a shameless persistence in requesting or demanding. Now, there's importunate, which also means to be troublesome or to trouble with request or demands or to ask for urgently. Now, I know we've all been in positions and situations in our life that we've asked something urgently. You know, I've got to have it, and I've got to have it now, right? And so, and how many of us do it just ask one time? So this has been really hard for me because I was always raised that daddy asks you one time, and it better get done. And then so in my brain, being transparent, that I just like to ask the Lord one time. But there's times that that works. God sees your need. But there's times that asking more than once is important. Right? Prayers get answered by being persistent. So, being persistent or unrelenting, anybody know what unrelenting is? Unrelenting, no? Nobody? Not giving up. Good job. Thank you. Yeah, we're all in Sunday school right now, so you can talk out loud as I ask questions if you would like. So, anybody else unrelenting? Your version of unrelenting? Do whatever it takes. I like it. Say that again. Stick-to-itiveness. You stick to it. It's unrelenting, right? It's not yielding. The actual definition is not yielding in the determination. So I'm determined that I'm going to get whatever it is I'm asking for. So it's being persistent in the right things, right? If you're persistent in wrong things, it's not going to accomplish anything. But being persistent in right things, and we're going to get into it, God has a way of answering right prayers. And there's a way and there's a method of praying to get those answers. Matthew 6:9, it begins, the Lord, the disciples have asked the Lord how to teach us to pray, right? And in 6:9 it says, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And everybody quotes this all of the time as being part of the Lord's Prayer. But this is a representation of how to pray. The very first thing that I need to do is not quote a prayer, but there's an embodiment in this prayer. The very first thing that it reveals is an acknowledgement of who God is. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when I come to God, I acknowledge who he is. That is the very first thing I do. I acknowledge that he is God. Now, it is essential for us to eradicate. There's hindering elements in our prayer life and in our life in general. There can be hindering elements to our prayer life. And so I'm going to hit on those a little bit, on those hindering elements, because if you want answered prayer, then I'm going to sharpen my prayer focus and I'm going to sharpen my life to have those answered prayers. And if I know that I'm cooking a steak wrong, Brother Neil, and you come along and you go, hey, I've got a better way to do it, I want to listen to it. I want to be able to prepare my steak correctly, right? And so so there's hindrances. So it's essential for us to eradicate the hindering elements out of our lives and out of our prayers so we are granted the things that we ask from God. So before I explore the importunity or the persistent praying, let's get rid of some hindrances. And so we want to remove these known hindrances, and so acknowledge them. Acknowledge these hindrances and go, I need to take care of that so I can move forward in a good walk with God and in a right prayer life. Relationships in your home, an improper relationship with your family, your wife, contention and strife and disharmony in the home will affect and can affect one's prayer life with your wife, with your children. 1 Peter 3:7, Brother Josh. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. My home needs to be in order just so I have a good prayer life. Don't get mad at me, husbands. The Bible says so. Make sure you're walking accordingly with your wife, right? How about sin? Sin in our life, Isaiah 59:1-2 says, being hypocritical or actively engaging in sinful practices. Hypocritical means I'm portraying myself as walking one way, but in reality, I'm walking in sin. I'm portraying that I'm walking a Christian life, but behind closed doors, I'm really in sin, right? And so those practices, sinful practices, or never repenting will cease answers to prayers. There's going to be a hindrance to an answer to your prayer if you're actively engaging in sin without repentance. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Go ahead to the second verse. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that what? He will not hear. So if you're actively in sin and you're praying for a specific prayer that hasn't been answered, then it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility, to check myself and make sure that I'm not in sin. And if I am in sin, to repent, to acknowledge that I'm in sin and go, you know what? I need to walk better. So another hindrance is not asking according to God's will. God's will in the context of his word. Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus praying in the garden didn't want to die. His flesh didn't want to die. But he said, nevertheless, because he asked, he said, let this cup be passed from me, right? My flesh doesn't want to die. But nevertheless, thy will be done. So 1 John 5:14-15. Neither are we to ask God for things that are contrary to his will for our personal lives. We must consider his word and his plan for our lives when we pray. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Go to the next one. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. How about Romans 8:27? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows what you need. And he's going to give it to you according to God's word, according to his will. It'll happen. It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. And we're going to get into, again, the importunity of that. So, not wavering. How about James said not to be double-minded. James 1:5-8, Brother Josh. James said not to be double-minded, be hesitant, or stagger at God's promises when we pray. Ask in faith without doubting, and the answer will come. If any man, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that he giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If I waver in my prayer, you think I'm going to get it? And I'm like, eh, it's not important. I feel like if I waver in my prayer, if I ask something of God and I'm kind of wavering, I'm like, yeah, it's not important to me. Because anything that is important to me when I pray, anything that's important to me, I'm gonna be on it. I'm going to be like, I'm not wavering. God, I need this. Right? How about unbelief? I'm talking about hindrances. Hindrances that hinder our prayer walk. How about unbelief? Doubt is one of the biggest hindrances we fight, Mark 9:23, Brother Josh, in our prayer lives, is doubt. And Jesus said to them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How about Mark 11:23-26? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have not against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. So in there, coupled with unbelief, is forgiveness. And if I haven't forgiven my brother for a trespass against me, guess how much of that prayer is going to be answered? Because I have something in my heart that's going to hinder the move of God. Doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, those things are hindrances, right? So if I have something against Brother Riley, I need to make sure that I get it corrected before I ask things of God, right? Unforgiveness, Matthew 18:35 while we're on it. Forgiveness must innate from our hearts while we're praying. It doesn't matter what it's been. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Mark 11:23. I just talked about. It's important that I forgive. It does not matter what they have done. All things are forgivable except one. Right? So if God can forgive, then so can I. And so that's a big portion of answered prayers. Failure to use the name of Jesus. Matthew 28:18, if you go to there, Brother Josh, all power in heaven and earth is in Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we use the name, but not misuse the name, right? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Everybody that I know, when they pray, they usually end their prayer in Jesus' name. Now, some may end their prayer differently, but most people end their prayer in Jesus' name. There's an importance to that. Redundant to some people. I just say it every time I pray, so it's just repetitive. No, there's an importance to the name of Jesus. If you want things and you can get all of the hindrances out of the way, using the name of Jesus just seals the deal. Right? It seals the deal. It says, in Jesus' name, I want it. But if I fail to use in Jesus' name, I forsake the power that comes with it. His titles and tributes are good to call in prayer, but we should never forget that the power is in the name. John 14:12, Brother Josh. The power is in his name when we call on him by faith. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Continue. And whatsoever ye shall ask in what? My name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Next verse. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I stand firm on the promises of God, and that's a promise. God promises to answer prayers if they're asked correctly. If there are no hindrances, and you use his name. Asking amiss is also a hindrance. The word amiss means unbecoming or not befitting or incorrect or just wrong. Some never ask for anything. The Bible also says you have not because you ask not. Right? Everybody knows this. But some others ask for the wrong purpose. And again, it boils down to a heart issue. Asking for a wrong purpose is a hindrance. So be sure that your heart's right. James 4:3. You ask not and you receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There's a key word. My amiss or my wrongful asking is because I'm lusting after something. And God's not going to go against his word and answer a prayer. God's word will be accomplished. And he will not go against his word to accomplish something that is a lust out of your heart. Matthew 7:7-8. ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be open. Now sometimes you have to knock a couple times. Sometimes you don't hear it. I don't know how many times I've had people at the door. Never heard it, not once. I, on the other hand, when I go door knocking, and we go into outreach, I have a tendency, as Sister Jennifer Pirtle got on to me for, a tendency to knock like a cop. And so, no lie, we're out door knocking one day, and we're inviting people to church, and we're in the not so good parts of town, and I walk up and I knock like a cop. I mean, I just. And nobody answers the door. I go through like five houses, and not one person answers the door. Sister Jen walks up behind me, and we're all in a group together. Sister Jen walks up behind me, and she says, Brother Colton, she goes, can I tell you something? And I said, well, yeah, sure. And she says, you knock like a cop. And I was like, what? And she goes, you knock like a cop. She's like, so I don't think anybody's going to answer the door. And I was like, all right, okay, I'll try this. So the next door that I went to, I did a different knock. I did a jingle. And somebody answered the door. And so now I intentionally try not to knock like a cop if I go door knocking, right? In prayer, a constant knocking is something that is a good thing for God, as long as you don't have hindrances in your prayer wall. Lord, I need this. Tomorrow, Lord, I need this. I'm telling you, this is a very hard concept for me to grasp because I have battled my flesh with this. Because Brother Jerry, like I said, I was trained. Ask once, and if it don't get done, it is what it is. If my daddy asked me one time and it didn't get done, it was what it was. So I have to program my prayer walk differently than what I was trained. Could that be a hindrance to me? Could your training in your life outside of your prayer walk be a hindrance to your prayer walk? I will tell you personally, that is a hindrance to me. And so I have to train myself better. That's something that Colton has to fix. So, not asking amiss. Unthankfulness. Failure to be thankful for past, present blessings can stop the flow of blessings. Ephesians 5:4. Brother Josh, also 5:20. So failure to be thankful. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. Go to verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6. Everybody's familiar with this one. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. I must be thankful. Everybody say, I must be thankful. Look at your neighbor and say, you must be thankful. So there's a lack of power with God. Prayer is a generator of power in our lives. There is no lack on God's part. God doesn't slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, right? He doesn't slack. But there's a slackness on our part because for his power to work in our lives, we must continue to pray and to walk in the Spirit. Acts 1:8, Brother Josh. I must be continuous in it. And it's kind of like this, walking in and plugging in a vacuum cleaner to the wall. And then unplugging it and then going and turning the vacuum cleaner on and expecting it to work. That's kind of like what our prayer lives are. So I go back over and I plug it back in, and then I unplug it and I go back over there and I flip the switch and it still doesn't work. The power's there. I'm just not constantly plugged in. And when I learn to constantly be plugged in, it'll generate the power to work in your life. Right? Acts 1:8. Did I miss it? Sorry. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Ephesians 3:20 and then Ephesians 6:10. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. I have to have the Holy Ghost in me. I have to have the power within me, right? It's inside of me. And things are going to be accomplished. Go next. 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. There's something that I have to dig deep down within. And I have to say, I have to acknowledge that I have the power of God, because it is so easy for the devil to come in and say, you ain't got power. It's so easy to be discouraged in today's day and age. I want to remind you that David encouraged himself in the Lord as well. When you have nobody else, Brother Neil, to encourage you, encourage yourself. Find the power within to encourage yourself. Improper motives. Matthew 6:5-8, Brother Josh. Praying to be seen of people using vain repetitions. We talked about this in the first lesson. Vain repetitions. What are vain repetitions? Anybody want to take a gander? All you say is Jesus the whole time. What are you praying? That's a vain repetition. All right? There's a sincerity, and God knows the difference. And for the most part, you know the difference. And what is a repetition that's vain, and what's a sincere, deep down, powerful prayer. There's a difference in calling on the Lord and calling his name in prayer, and it be a deep-seated, emotional, you are pushing through in the Holy Ghost, than to just walk around saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's a difference. There's a line. Right? And so finding that depth of the Holy Ghost where you are just saying Jesus or Jesus, I love you or whatever it is that you're saying, there is a spiritual difference in being emotionally, there's groanings in the spirit. There's groanings in prayer. There are times where you get into the Holy Ghost and you don't know what to say, so you groan. That is not a vain repetition. That is a prayer in the Holy Ghost. And so being aware of what vain repetitions and actually what praying in the Holy Ghost is important. So improper motives, Matthew 6:5. If we have the proper motives when asking God for things, the answer will come. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. They like to be seen and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men, right? That's the whole purpose. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They're being seen. Go to the next verse. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. Now, that your closet can be your bedroom. It can be an actual closet. It can be an old brush arbor out back. Boy, Sister Benton, brush arbors are hard to come by anymore, huh? I don't hear those words anymore. How many young people know what a brush arbor is? I'm glad I got three young people and raise their hands. Right? It doesn't have to be an actual closet, but a secret place where you go and you meet with the Lord. It can be on your bed, on your pillow. It could be in your living room. It could be driving. I'm telling you, I've had to pull over on the side of the road at times, Brother Brent, in my work truck, because I was praying and the Lord fell on me. And it would be really hard to explain to the cop that I was getting the Holy Ghost when I ran into somebody. So I had to pull over, because why? I was in a time of prayer. I was in a time of entertaining the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost was entertaining me or something. But that time of prayer, wherever it's at, that's your secret place. So when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I want to tell you that physical weariness, discouragement, and stress are also hindrances in prayer. Zeroing in on your problem of hindrance. Identify it. That's a problem. And then correct it. If you can correct a hindrance and enter into a prayer life, I'm telling you that you're going to receive great things from God through prayer. So if you have a hindrance in your life, zero in on it, identify it, correct it, and watch what God does in your prayer life. So the importunity factor. Prayers made and prayers answered are two vastly different things. God wants to bless us, to give people the Holy Ghost, and to supply our needs. But there's a biblical principle of importunity in prayer. Labor and time-saving devices applicable to other projects never apply to prayer. When you enter into a prayer life and a prayer walk, don't be limited on time. Don't set time limits. Microwave prayers are microwave prayers. I don't know if you've ever had a microwave dinner and then turned around and cooked the exact same thing that was in the microwave dinner and actually cooked it real. There's a difference. Have you ever had a microwave steak and then you turn around and you actually grilled your steak? There's a difference, right? There's a difference. The same thing with prayer. Praying is enjoyable. Prayer is rewarding, but it also is hard work and taxing to the flesh. Sister Crosswhite, that brisket will not be as good if it was put in a microwave. There's time that's put into that brisket. There's time that's put into that steak. There's time that's put in, and it's laborious, especially if you're on a stick burner. When you're smoldering and you're smoldering wood and you're getting that smoke flavor in the food, and I know I'm talking about food before lunch, and I apologize. I try not to do this, but it applies. Some briskets take 14 hours. Prayer is enjoyable and it's rewarding, but it's also hard work and taxing to the flesh. Never should we feel repulsed when we do not get the desired results of prayer. Being timid, bashful, or easily discouraged in prayer will not bring your needed answers. Unabashed determination and stamina are necessary for opening heaven's doors. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. We are time conscious since our time is measured in terms of dollars and cents in this day and age. And as a result, our busy, rushed society has reduced prayer time to pitiful proportions. I just need a little bit. I like the song, but I don't like the song, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus." I need a bigger talk with Jesus. I don't need just a little talk with Jesus. Oh, for flesh awakening, for a fresh awakening to the value of time spent in prayer. Its rewards surpass the highest compensations human can pay. There is no dollar amount on a on a deep-rooted prayer time. There's no dollar amount that you can put on time with God. If you're discouraged with your prayer life, perhaps there's some. I'm going to go through a couple examples that will inspire you to go to God again and let the answers come. Luke 11, and I'm just going to, for time's sake, I'm just going to reference these. Luke chapter 11 talks about the three loaves. The person, the friend who knocked on the door in the middle of the night. And because of his persistence, Luke says, because of his persistence, because of his constant knocking, the friend got up and took care of the need instead of just giving him something else, instead of telling him to come back tomorrow, right? So there was an importance there. How about the unjust judge? Everybody know the story about the unjust judge? All right? This woman came to this judge in need of something. And he told her no, and I'm just improvising on the story because of time's sake, but in Luke chapter 18, it talks about how he told her no. He told her no. He told her no. And finally he said, this woman troubles me. Give her what she wants. Right? Sometimes it's the persistence. Look at your neighbor. Keep on knocking. Right? The Syrophoenician woman, she was persistent. Master said, let the children eat first. And then we give the dogs the rest later. And the woman said, what did she say? She said, yeah, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. She was persistent. She was there was an importunity there. It was important to her. And God saw how important it was. And so because of that, how about Cornelius? Cornelius didn't have the Holy Ghost. He wasn't baptized in Jesus' name in the beginning. But he still, the commentary of his life that he prayed to God always. The Bible reflects on him offering up many prayers that mounted up as a memorial before God. Many prayers that mount. Can you imagine have you ever seen a memorial? Have you ever walked up and stood before a statue or of a memorial of somebody and how some of them are big, right? And it mounted up to something big before God. Peter in prison. Prayer was made in Acts 12 without ceasing from the church for Peter to God to intervene, right? And the prayer was answered. We talked about this last week and I think the week before. Prayer was answered. Matter of fact, he came and knocked on the door. Who was it, Sister Riley, that went to the door? Rhoda. That's right. And she said, Peter's at the door. And you know what everybody else said? No, he's not. He's in jail. No, he's at the door. Daniel, 21 days of prayer and fasting were necessary before Daniel received his answer in prayer, according to Daniel 10. The prince of Persia, or Satan's emissary, hindered the angels of God on his way with the answer for Daniel. Listen to me very carefully. Delayed prayers for us can be caused by the same situation. Look at your neighbor and say, the answer is on the way. Just keep praying. The answer is on the way. It's on the way. The answer was already delivered to the angel for Daniel. And the angel, while en route to Daniel, had to fight some enemies. And guess what? Daniel consistently prayed. He was consistent. He was importunate. He didn't stop. Because it was important. Look at your neighbor and say, prayer changes things. Unceasing, prevailing, intercessory prayer can change several things. And I'm going to identify a couple of them. Us. Me. Point at yourself and say, it can change me. Right? Prayer alters our attitudes, our spirits, and our conduct to align with God's word. studying his word, identifying some hindrances and getting into a prayer life will change our mindset. And for time's sake, I'm just going to reference a few things. Acts chapter 10 for Peter. The publican in Luke chapter 18. Saul in Acts chapter 9. Hezekiah in Isaiah 38. Job in Job 42. Jonah in Jonah 2. Prayer changes us. Right? Prayer can change God. God's eternal purpose is unchangeable, but through prayer, God has been moved to extend mercy when he was ready to pour out wrath. That's why Abraham in the very beginning prayed to God and tried to do everything he could to save Sodom and Gomorrah for Lot's sake. God, if there be 50 righteous. See, God didn't have to go to Abraham to tell him about what he was about to do. But God did, and Abraham prayed 50. And the Lord said, I was going to pour out my wrath, but for 50's sake, I'll change my mind. And then it was 40, and then it was 30. And the list kept growing because God would say, for 10's sake, I'd change my mind. But Abraham stopped. I really believe that God would have changed his mind for 1's sake. If Abraham would have asked, but he didn't ask. So prayer can change God's mind. He's an unchangeable God, but God extends mercy. I wonder what mercy that we could obtain for ourselves and for others if we would pray without ceasing. And again, for time's sake, I'm going to just reference Genesis chapter 18, Exodus chapter 32, and Numbers chapter 14. God will change his mind for us through his mercy. Prayer changes others. An accessory prayer for those who will not or cannot pray can affect them dramatically. When we pray for others, things can change in lives of the person or persons for whom we pray. Peter in Acts chapter 12. The sick in James 5. Those who despitefully use us in Matthew chapter 5. Sister Lauren, I think she had a prayer request not long ago. She has a testimony to that, where somebody was given her problems, and prayer was made. And I'm pretty sure there's a testimony that has come out of that. That's in this church. How many of y'all can raise your hand and say prayer changed something, a situation, or somebody in your life? Raise your hand. Personally, you know, you have evidence that prayer changed somebody's mind towards you, somebody's mind about you, a situation about you. Prayer changes things, right? Our world needs soul-saving revival that only God can give. I'll break it down to our city needs a soul-saving revival. Nacogdoches needs a soul-saving revival. If we pursue opportunities but neglect importunity, our world or our city will sink deeper in sin. Prayers, people who pray will die. I can hear the prayer of Sister Brown, pastor sitting right back there. I can still hear her voice to this day, her praying. Sister Brown has passed on. Sister KK, I can still hear her voice to this day. Sister KK has passed on. There are men and women in our lives that you can identify that prayed and you can hear their voice in prayer that have passed on. But prayers never die. The people who pray can die. But prayers are memorials before God. So in the time of your life, take advantage of importunity and wage it in your personal prayer life. Put it to battle and watch the answers come. If we, too many prayers, and I'm closing, too many prayers break down because we just get too tired. And we're done. We ask God once or twice and we're done. And that prayer breaks down and it is never answered because I was never importunate on that prayer. There's some backsliders in this church, from this church, that if I just keep praying, I know one day they're going to walk back through those doors. I know. I believe, and I'm believing. I'm not wavering. Don't stop praying. Don't stop interceding for your family members, your friends, your loved ones. There are people that are going to come back through those doors. And I want them to come back to the same Holy Ghost feeling that they had when they left out. I don't want to change. I don't want to change I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I want them to know the Holy Ghost. And that same Holy Ghost that they walked out on, they're going to come back to it. Because why? Because it's a hunger. They can identify it. I wonder if we can lift our hands right now and let's just pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you.